Could you soon be in danger of ending up in court if you indulge yourself in giving a restaurant or similar a really bad review? There are a few high-profile cases around at the moment, a Melbourne dentist, an Adelaide barrister, and some Australian entrepreneurs, and all of them are leading to the possibility that people could be guilty of defamation by just venting their spleen on the internet. Will the act of remaining anonymous online be a thing of the past? Dr. Angela Dobell is Associate Professor of Marketing at RMIT University. She told Jack Padley that the threat of defamation will see a change in online behaviour.
Oh, I think this is the beginning. This is a tipping point from which we will emerge. I think brands have, and marketing practitioners have, spent so much time creating these opportunities for the sharing of ideas, for knowledge, for referrals. It's increasingly important for businesses to have that buyers passing on information stream, that knowledge sharing. And I think these connected information spreaders have had a lot of power without potentially a lot of responsibility. That's known as the online disinhibition effect. So things like anonymity, being invisible, it's an asynchronous communication path, and that can lead to perhaps an empathy deficit. And I think what we're seeing now is that there's just a response, a correction within some of those markets to say, well, hang on a second, we can't behave in that way. So I think what we're looking for is a facility now where feedback is positive and constructive as opposed to, well, defamatory.
How anonymous are we really online?
Well, I don't think we're that anonymous, as Google has proven by being able to give those names when faced with a court order to do so. I think we've seen enough movies where people's identities are released to know that we should be being truthful and honest, certainly authentic in the feedback that we are providing.
How thin are the lines between internet defamation and legitimate criticism?
Well, I think that's a really interesting question. I think that's the one that's going to face the courts, because I think this is potentially quite huge. It's also a tipping point in the sense that we've got, on the other side, consumers looking for greater privacy, greater responsibility from the brands that they deal with. And on the other side, we've now got brands trying to portray those images. I think, have you seen that Google's recently changing the way they're dealing with cookies and hopes to make them obsolete within a few years' time? And I think that's a precursor to them looking at their brand and trying to perhaps buff some of the tarnish that might be upon it. I think this is a precursor of consumers going, well, hang on a second, maybe we all need to behave a little better in this space, and firms, on the other hand, saying, well, hang on, I need some responsibility for what you can say about me. It needs to be an accurate portrayal of that. I think the court is going to have a very interesting time deciding where that line begins and ends.
This whole situation about internet defamation, what could this mean for platforms like Google?
I think they may end up having to change the way they support these sorts of feedback sites, or these sections of their sites that provide feedback. I think the weblog communities as a whole may start a self-correction process. And you sometimes see that with feedback on some brands. Consumers will respond if there's an outlier or somebody's gone in a direction that others in the community think is a bit too far. There's a self-correction mechanism, and people will say, oh, you know, hang on a second, it's not like that at all. I think sometimes too, with when we're reading reviews, we need to consider if there is an outlier and ask ourselves, is that an outlier for a reason? Does it actually, you know, is everybody else lying about the good service that they may have received, and this one outlier is the only one speaking the truth, or is it more likely to be the other way around? So I think as consumers, we may become a little bit more careful, and online sites who provide those reviews may have to have a bit of a look about the pros and cons of how they manage those sites.
Legal differences for online content between countries. So obviously the laws are different. The laws we have in Australia are different to America.
Google's a US company, and they're publishing in Australia, and are they a publishing house? Yep.
Absolutely.
That's going to be a very interesting one for the courts to decide. And I think this is we're into the realm of science fiction now with, you know, Robert A. Heinlein writing the Friday book, for example, and the interplays between really large organisations. And I think this is going to be a very interesting one, because we've got these dynamics between political governments and then organisations, and how those two will come together. And I think governments will really have to be looking at operationally and strategically how they portray their laws, how they hold these companies to account. how those laws are implemented. It's another full section of the discussion facing the courts as we move forward.
Dr. Angela Dobell, she's Associate Professor of Marketing at the RMIT University. She was talking to The Wire's Jack Padley.